It's only by God's mercy that actually we can experience the presence like we've just done. And as we sit here, it's because of his mercy. But I'm going to quickly run through Romans. Now, Romans is, it's actually an action-packed book in the Bible. But the first 11 chapters just talks about God's mercy. It just talks about God's mercy. It tells you what it is, how it looks, how God sees it. And I'm going to give you a couple of the themes, just quickly, highlights. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about humanity's sinfulness, the need for mercy. In 2, it says God's impartial judgment, which is Jews and Gentiles alike. We were talking about it just now, are judged, and that the law is then written on our hearts, not just the law of the Old Testament. In Romans 3, it talks about sin and justification. Sin and justification. Romans 4, Abraham's faith. How Abraham was justified by faith. Romans 5, peace and reconciliation. Without the mercy of God, we can't find peace or reconciliation. New life in Christ in chapter 6. So united with Christ's death and resurrection. So in Romans 7, the struggle with sin. And we spoke about that a bit last week, that without his grace and his mercy, we have no hope. We have no hope. In Romans 8, life in the Spirit. It's only by his mercy. In Romans 9, God's sovereignty. So it's God's sovereign choice, but Israel's unbelief. And how, by his mercy, not by human effort. It's crazy. Romans 10, salvation by faith alone. That if we confess Jesus as Lord and trust and put our faith in him, that it's only by his gift of grace and mercy on our lives that we can get saved. And then Romans 11, God's plan for Israel, where he talks about how Israel is not rejected, but actually how God shows mercy. But then in Romans 12, Paul changes tack completely. So the first 11 chapters is literally about all the reasons we need mercy, what mercy looks like, and how it comes to being. But in Romans 12, starts off in view of God's mercy. So he's looking back at 11 chapters and says, in view of all of this that he's shown us, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And it's just beautiful how throughout worship we've gone on this road of surrender, doors being opened in our hearts, and actual surrender, just like, oh Lord, we want to give ourselves to you. And we don't want any walls in our heart. So if you can put up Romans 12, 1, 2, 4 for me, please. And it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So, in view of his mercy, it's not our works. In view of his mercy, that he would show grace and that he would come and cleanse us of sin and unrighteousness. We can come to him and offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And that is spiritual worship. That is spiritual worship. That is us saying, actually, I am now able. Not I'm choosing because I can. It's not my works. I'm able because of your mercy to be able to come and offer my sacrifice to you. And how does that sacrifice look? So for the rest of Romans, he starts to teach on it. And he says, actually, how do we offer our bodies as living sacrifices? So the first thing he goes into is Romans 13 says, or speaks about submission and love. So Paul writes here and he gives an order of business, an order of service, an order of laying down and saying, actually, how do we rightfully come into this thing called church? How do we come into family with order but in order and just knowing that it's not chaos, but actually there's structure and purpose and direction. So he talks about that in Romans 13. Romans 14 starts to talk about unity and diversity, about accepting one another, about looking at each other's differences. And we spoke a little bit before the service about cultures. Once again, I had a discussion about cultures just before this year. And we come in, and there are certain things that we are used to in our culture. Tracy and I have been in for 28 years in Cape Town. The culture is very different to the Free State. Very different. It is super liberal. It is very much living for self. Guys are on their own mission. You can have neighbors for 10 years and not know them. That would sound a little bit strange for the Free State. But actually, there's different cultures. So Paul speaks into this here in Romans 14. He says also to not judge and pursue peace and edification. So he addresses how we live one with another, how we walk together, how we relate to each other, how we build as a family, as opposed to being isolated people. I would never have probably even spent time with Estevan had it not been for church. We walk in different circles. We have completely different backgrounds and thinking. Same as Stian. Chris Naline studied as a doctor. I didn't even finish school. Complete different ends of the world. So we have these differences, but that doesn't make me judge her or her judge me. We learn to, as a family that are knitted together, unity in Christ, and we build and we grow together. The reality is, outside of maybe a 412 conference, I probably would never have met any of you. Think about that. And that here we are together, and we're now family. Family, that's how quickly it happens. Family. So, Paul talks into this quite a lot. Then in Romans 15, he talks about unity again, and the mission. So, if this little highlight reel doesn't inspire you to go and read Romans, then come talk to me, because then we'll excite you some more. But So Paul sets out the mission to actually start reaching unreached places. So he doesn't leave us in this place of, hey, this is the mercy of the Father, that he knows that we should be judged for our sin. He knows that we should actually be condemned to hell. But the Father extends mercy and grace that we don't have to pay the price for that. Jesus has paid it. But then he goes on to explain and say, actually, that's not enough that you just receive his mercy. In view of God's mercy, this is how you live your lives. This is how you live your lives. And part of what we did in worship this morning is entering in. And we're saying, I receive your mercy through faith, by grace. I receive your mercy. But actually, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to open my heart. And I'm going to let you come and live in me. And I'm no longer going to live for myself. That's everything of chapter 13 to 16. I'm no longer going to live for what pleases me anymore. I'm actually going to start to think like you would think, God. I'm choosing to bring my thinking, my heart, and my being into submission to you, Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to take us on a journey through. So he's saying, number one, have you surrendered? Have you surrendered your life? Number two, what does that surrender look like? Okay. So from that point, if we now get a little background to what mercy looks like, and a very short story of how we should position ourselves, what is the response because of the mercy? What is the actual response that it brings us to? So I'm going to jump through a couple of quick scriptures. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells Peter that he must forgive 70 times seven times. So there's this thing where mercy brings us to actually loving on people enough that we'll forgive. Not once, not twice, but 70 times seven times. That we'll show compassion. In Luke 10, the Good Samaritan shows mercy by caring for the wounded man. There's practical acts of mercy that we can now go and show because we have received mercy. In Luke 6, it says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. The character of God the Father is merciful. It's always mercy. There are times he has to come with wrath, but his wrath is still merciful. Okay. So in Galatians, it talks, in Galatians 5:13, serve one another humbly in love. This is the effects of the mercy shown to us. We're called to reflect God's character. So Micah 6:8, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. I'm going to read that one again. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Mercy isn't optional. It's part of God and part of walking with God. If we've received mercy, we should have the ability to extend mercy. So there's a question to ask. Are you finding yourself able to extend mercy to people? Now, that might not mean you have not received mercy. It might just mean that you haven't fully understood the mercy that you've been given. Maybe you just haven't fully understood it. That actually, mercy is not weakness. It is strength under control, shaped by grace. It's not weakness. It is strength under control, but it's shaped by grace. And that grace is extended from the Father. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved." But God, being rich in mercy. So we see that as he extends mercy to us, it empowers us to walk in the same mercy gifting that he gives us. Matthew 5. I don't know if you have read through Matthew 5 recently, but it's one that I go through quite regularly. They call it the benediction. But in Matthew 5, verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." So now we see a little circle starting to develop. That God, rich in mercy, who's extended mercy to us, that we can be able to extend mercy. But as we extend mercy, mercy comes back. Have you ever heard the saying, pay it forward? Have you ever heard the saying, pay it forward? And the concept is that I will extend a hand of help or assistance, and somehow that thing will come back. And it's rooted in that you sow, so shall you reap. So here God is just reaffirming that same thing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So the question I have for you is, are you walking in mercy? So that can mean two things. Have you fully accepted God's mercy in your life? We make a decision to serve Jesus. We walk this road. And sometimes we forget parts of the decision we make. How many of you have read a recipe to make something? And then you read it a second time because you think, oh, I must make sure I understand the recipe. Then you read the ingredients, and there's 7 ingredients. And you think to yourself, okay, I've got this. No, wait, let me check again in case. Because if you leave baking powder out when you're baking a cake, it becomes an unbeatable flop cake. It just never rises. It doesn't fulfill that thing that you want it to do. Or you leave the sugar out. Cake without sugar. It's like heresy almost. But you read the recipe over and over and you think, okay, I've got this. Until you get to the shops. It's like, oh, where's that recipe? Why? Because we forget something out. We know it. It's there. And it's the baking powder that always gets you. It's that one ingredient that you know. And then you mix the whole thing, and the baking powder is there looking at you. And you realize, oh, the baking powder was supposed to be sifted in with the flour. And if I add it into the wet mixture, it's going to go lomperig now. And I've got to start again. Not so? So mercy is like that. Mercy is that one thing that we get caught up in life. And we get a little distracted. And we sometimes forget that actually God extended us mercy. And we forget that once we've given our life and we live accountable, obedient lives, that actually we are forgiven. Think about that. We are forgiven of our sins. And we sometimes forget that. And the next thing, Yoli and I are talking about something, and she's like, wah, 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 with me. And it's like, you know that that's not yours to carry anymore. Actually, you've been forgiven. You've been set free. The blood of Jesus has paid the price and has set you free. Sorry, I'm picking on you. But we forget these little things, but they are massive if we don't keep remembering them. If we don't keep on top of daily coming before the Lord and saying, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. His mercies are new every day. They're available every day. But do we take it to the Lord? So the encouragement today is that on a daily basis, Paul says that we should pick up our cross daily. So on a daily basis, we get up and we thank the Lord, number one, that he came and that he died on the cross. Number two, that when he died on the cross, he paid for my sin. And he paved the way. Number three, that because of that grace and that mercy, by faith I can take that and say, today I am free and I can live for you today. Would you come and do that for me? In the same way in worship today, we did that. That's what we have access to daily. And if you felt anything of God's Spirit in worship this morning, there is no reason why you can't live daily in that place. There is no reason why you can't live in that place. And my prayer is that each and every one of us will start to experience that on a daily basis. At work in the mall, where the presence of God is so tangible in you, in that mall. Whether you're at the radio station, or whether you're on the farm, or in Senegal, or wherever you are, whatever you're doing. But actually, God's presence is accessible to us every single day because of his mercy.